The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. It is A Numbers Game. I'm Gil Alexander, committing at least five traffic violations to come here on time every morning. Along with Kelly Bidlin, my little buddy. How you doing?
It's kind of ironic that you say that, because I felt that way this morning as well.
I actually counted them this morning.
Oh, boy.
You start off with the old no turn on red turn to get things started. Then a few California rolls, if you know what I mean, through the stop signs. Followed by rampant speeding. Boys and girls, I'm not proud of any of it. You shouldn't do it.
As my mother used to like to call it, the light was orange, Gil.
My dad used to say through a stop sign, I said, what are you doing? It was a stop sign. I was a kid. He'd be like, it's a suggestion. That's what he actually told me. I don't know if it took 8.5 years to remember this. 8.5 years on this network for this memory to come up. But I am inspired by, do you know who? Brent Musburger. Co-founder of VSiN, Brent Musburger, the legendary Brent Musburger, who when I was a kid, it must have been a Sports Illustrated article or something. He's going to kill me for telling this story on air. But when he would go to the NFL today, he would run the toll booths to get to work on time. Or he just sped. Maybe I just made up the toll booth part, but I don't think I am. Anyway, that somehow was emblazoned in my brain. I do it 5 times a week.
There you go.
Doesn't make it right.
Yeah,
but here we are. Here we are to entertain the people.
I don't know how many times though, that was a thing down at Florida too. Where you get the turnpike, right? And you're always like, I always assume my little speed pass thing is set up, and then and then you realize a year later when you get tickets in the mail, like, oh, that wasn't working this whole time.
They got me once. Remember on the way to the South Point, I got caught for speeding one time. I was going 81 in a 55 again. Don't do this at home. It's not right. And I had my Larry David moment where he was giving me the ticket, and finally I was like, hey, while I have you, what are you going to do about all this stuff flying out of the tops of trucks?
I forgot you brought this up.
And he was like, you're more of a menace than any of those people. I'm like, okay, officer, just give it right to you.
My worst one ever, two worst ones, two speeding tickets in the same day while I was driving out to Las Vegas to move here in Texas, the same part of West Texas.
Oh, wow.
Two speeding tickets about 3 hours apart. That second one was an awkward conversation.
He was aware of the first.
Well, he did the whole go back to the car to punch in my information. He comes back, he's like, did you get a ticket already today? I'm like, yeah.
Well, yes, I did.
And then
Sorry.
One, I got pulled over out here for texting, because I was... I'm at the stoplight, and then I pull out my phone to text. I see a cop is behind me, but like... three cars back and one lane over. I'm like, this guy can't see. He pulls me over immediately. He's like, yeah, man, I could see the reflection in the windshield. It's not that hard. I'm like, yeah, that makes sense.
That's also that checks out. Of all the things you can do, that ranks high as like, never do that.
Oh, I agree. But I was at full stop at a red light. It's not like I was driving. Oh, okay. Yes, it was right. Full stop at a red light.
All right. You're not allowed to do it at a red light?
No.
Interesting. All right. On the show today, Drew Dinsick will join us momentarily from Churchill Downs. We don't know where he's going to be, if he's going to be on the track, if he's going to be riding a horse. We don't know.
What kind of hat he's going to be wearing.
He's so committed, though. So we're going to talk to him, and maybe we'll even ask him awkward NBA questions while he's in his Kentucky Derby getup. We'll do that as well. Then a little segment we like to call Estamos Seguros, Are We Sure? Which we haven't done in a while because Kelly was away, so looking forward to that. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke after his 100 men versus a gorilla performance the other day. My favorite highlight from that exchange was me saying, Jason, you keep using weapons. You can't use weapons. It goes back to Jason and then he proceeds to use more weapons. That's my favorite part from that. Chris Velika then. Of course, hour number two, Velika and Fezzik Fridays. Chris Velika, with all of his Derby plays, his Kentucky Oaks plays, he has given us a scroll of plays.
And Gil Alexander will explain every single bet that Chris has.
I will absolutely not do that. That will not happen.
Shout out to Danny in the back, AP Danny, where I'm like, hey, look through those graphics I made up for Chris and see if you think the average person can understand most of this.
Well, at least we'll have a visual, because remember when Samich was here, he was like 3, 7, 8, 4, 5, 6, 10, 12.
Right. Yeah. He gave out the true value of pi.
Yeah. 3.14. What happens after that?
that stopped killing.
Fezzik Fridays. Steve has tons to talk about here. including that conversation we had with Crack. I had with Crack yesterday about the kid who won $800,000. Now the casinos are not threatening not to pay him. Captain Jack also sent me a DM. Apparently, I did a bad job because I did not know this kid went to gaming already and like preemptively talked about this stuff. Like he's aware. Hey, let me know if this is not, you know. So we got to get into that with Fezzik. He's got things to say about 100 men versus a gorilla. He's got things to say about horse racing. Can't wait for that a little later on. We start with a few things. One, Major League Baseball. Pardon me, Kelly. The first day of May yesterday, obviously. We have our May bets. Padres were idle day one. But in Major League Baseball yesterday, every dog won except for one. Did you see this?
No, I didn't see this.
Only the Detroit Tigers, and they needed a rally in the eighth and ninth to win. Otherwise, it would have been a clean sweep of dogs yesterday. And so, by the way, the White Sox and the Rockies both win. White Sox and Rockies off to a 1-0 start in May. May juggernauts.
What's my exacta price on them again?
I don't know. So that was interesting in baseball yesterday. We'll see if Jason has any plays coming up. And then, of course, in the NHL, we had a few closeouts, including everybody's pumped around here because the Vegas Golden Knights got it done. They take down the Minnesota Wild 4-2. They do it with a 3-2 win yesterday. What a turn of events in the last game in 1 minute and change. Remember, the Wild looked to have scored that go-ahead goal with just over a minute left in game 5. That got reversed on a coach's challenge, offsides by the tip of a skate. Golden Knights going to win that game in overtime, and then they close out the Wild last night. So they get it done. Toronto staves off the sphincter tightening possibility of a game 7 after they were up 3-0. They take down Ottawa in the Battle of Ontario. They win that series 4-2 with a 4-2 win yesterday. So Toronto was off to the second round. Good for the folks up there who are listening on Game Plus. And then Edmonton, it's, how many goals were scored in the first period of that game last night? I think it was 5. Edmonton takes down the Kings 6-4. They win that series in 6. So a lot of advancements yesterday. The one, of course, that was not, though, talk about a Plinko game. Colorado and Dallas, they will go to a game 7 as the Avs score 4 times in the third period, 2 on empty netters. They beat the Stars 7-4. They do force a game 7, which is going to be tomorrow. Tonight, Winnipeg at St. Louis. Winnipeg looking to close out the Blues. By the way, Colorado -135 on the road for game number 7. And then there's the National Basketball Association, Kelly. And by the way, updating the VSiN Killer Sports NBA Playoff Challenge. You can follow this at VSiN.com/challenge. I believe that's the case. Let me make sure that I'm saying that correctly, because I don't want to make up anything. VSiN.com/challenge. If you go in there, you can follow everybody's plays. Yes, I'm correct. Then you just hit on standings. And you will see that Doug Kazarian still holds the lead here as we come to the very end of the first round. 14-5. Stevie Fezzik, 13-7. And then Kaleb Bydelon, 12-7.
Yeah, I took an L, though, yesterday. Took an L. Final play tonight for the first round.
We were oppo.
Find out later what it is.
Oh, you told them yesterday what it was, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Find out later, even though I told you yesterday.
Not everybody was listening yesterday, Gil. It was a great tease.
Yeah, we were oppo on the total yesterday. I got that right. You on the I was on the over in the Pistons game, but I was also on the Pistons, too.
You know what makes me mad is I ended up betting small both the side and the total, and I chose the total for the contest because I did take a little bit of the Knicks last night, and yeah.
Can we talk about this game? So the other game, by the way, the Clippers force a game 7 against the Nuggets with a win, 111-105. So what you have in hockey and basketball is one series is going to 7, a second might go to 7. That's where both sports stand. But as far as the Knicks and the Pistons.
Let's go Clips! Let's go Clips!
Yeah, but NBA hardos need that Clippers thing
yes,
to come through.
Yes, we do.
Knicks Pistons last night. This was not as like dramatic of a collapse as the Bucks against the Pacers. Sorry, Wyatt. Apologize. But this was the Pistons led by 7 with 2:35 left in this game yesterday. After the Knicks had led by 15, they squandered that by halftime. Then they led by 13 again in the second half, 12 in the fourth quarter. They squandered that. Pistons led by 7 with 2:35 left. You're like, wow. What an unbelievable comeback twice. The Knicks have lost this game twice. Pistons have won it twice. But then a Brunson floater in one, 112-108. Durin misses an alley-oop. Then a layup, another layup by Brunson, 112-110. Cunningham misses a layup. Towns steals the ball. He's fouled. He makes one of two. 112-111. Brunson misses, but an offensive after an offensive board, a foul on Towns. Oh, no, excuse me. Brunson misses after a board, foul on Towns. Durin makes one of two, 113-111. Then Brunson misses, but Bridges tips it back in, 113 apiece with 36 seconds to go. Cunningham misses a running layup. And then with the shot clock turned off, Brunson, dagger three as he shakes Thompson. Less than 5 seconds left, Pistons throw it away, ball game. And I just, Brunson ends up with 40, Bridges 25, and Anobi 22, and the Knicks 116-113 win. They clinch that series. They are headed to take on the Celtics in the conference semifinals. I just want to say, that yesterday was, you know how you always talk about experience matters in the postseason? Mm-hmm. That was just a microcosm of it, that last stretch of that game yesterday.
Yeah, it is. And I think it's also, like, I think this ending is what the Pistons season, it should have been and where it should have ended. It was, this team was awesome and got better this whole year. But at some point, this is kind of what we were talking about yesterday. Like, I think the Knicks have let a lot of people down, I think, a lot with the overall talent that is on that roster. But you're watching the Pistons, it's a big time game, and it's, at the end of the day, you're still rolling out Tobias Harris, Tim Hardaway Jr., Malik Beasley, who, look, they're all good players and have been solid role players on good teams in the NBA during their career, but the talent level is just, it's a mismatch. And
Boston Celtics installed as a minus 800 series favorite.
Wait, real quick, Gil, because I loved this part of the game yesterday. I'm a Sir Thompson. I'm still sliding off that crossover, man.
This is a shake that Brunson did on Asar Thompson, demonstrated in real time by Kelly Bidlin. Coming back, Drew Dinsick from the track at Churchill Downs next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Want to bet smarter? Start with smarter insights. Right now you can check out the Kentucky Derby betting guide, Greg Peterson's MLB best bets, and Dave Tooley's Friday Churchill picks. That's at Churchill Downs. And later today, you can check out Zachary Cohen's NBA best bets and player props, Jonathan Davis's NHL picks, and Steve Mackinnon's MLB analytics report. Right now, you can sign up for our annual subscription and get 14 months for only $199 with promo code PRO. That's promo code PRO, P-R-O. Just head to VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up today. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. This is from Zach Tuchman, or is it Tuchman? I don't know. Tribal? I don't know. I hope I'm pronouncing that okay, Zach. After Gil shamed DraftKings into posting May wins, they took it a step further. They now repost every morning. Padres back up to 25-1 after being idle yesterday. Something to look at going forward. Yeah, we'll see if how long they keep this up. We'll see.
Yeah.
Thank you for acknowledging the shaming of DraftKings.
There is no reason why they can't. No reason.
Yeah,
literally until the final day.
Corey Henderson, 775. Gil and Kelly flying down from Reno in the morning for Sammy Hagar in the evening. Where are we watching the race tomorrow? I don't know, Corey. If you came up with a point, maybe we'll meet you there. Jim Devitt got a ticket on one side of the Rickenbacker Causeway Bridge in Key Biscayne and another coming down the other side within a minute of each other. Gil, I know you know the bridge. Kelly, you probably do also.
Oh,
yes,
yeah.
I do.
Oh, yeah.
That is a feat.
Mm-hmm.
That is a feat of traffic violation right there.
Yeah,
nice job, Jim.
Is more impressive than my Texas one. Yep.
That's got to be within minutes. Jason H11, no offense to Fezzik or Felica regarding their thoughts and opinions on sports betting, but all I care about is what they have to say about 100 men versus gorilla. Oh, Fezzik has thoughts. Fezzik,
he's got a new scenario, which I like.
He not only has thoughts, it's guest-on-guest crime coming up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true, too.
Yeah, Mark Decard. As a teenager, I read an article in Sports Illustrated, I think, where Brent was asked how he unwound after doing the NFL Today. He replied, I like to have a cold beer and drive fast. He immediately became my hero. It's the same article I read. Inspired to this day.
Really?
Yeah.
That's great.
Mike Goosh has a question for Fezzik later. We'll get to that, Mike, when Fezzik is here. Chuckism 1, found Nuggets 45-1 to win the West. Should I hedge Saturday night?
I mean, I would, but what do we always say, Gil? There's a reason you made the bet in the first place,
That's
right?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, why'd you make it in the first place?
Is there anything changed significantly in this series to make you doubt your position anymore? I think if you made the bet, I would say no.
Scott, New York Mets 16. It's only the first segment we have had Gil's illegal driving. Samich's version of PI.
Hi.
of pie. Oh, pardon me.
Yes.
And Kelly doing a shimmy. What a way to start a Friday. Kelly was so excited to do that shimmy that he didn't even answer my question.
What was your question?
Do you think the Celtics at minus 800 in a best of seven series against the Knicks, plus 550 yeah. coming back, is correct?
I think it's getting a little steep. I'll say that. Look, I think the problem is both these teams head in with some injury questions, right? I don't think that it's anything to be too concerned about. We're going to get a fair amount of time off. Obviously, the Celtics have had some time off. I expect them to look like a different team. I think it is important to keep in mind that the Magic have given the Celtics team some problems throughout the past couple years, and I think that showed up in the first round a little bit. I think the Celtics are too much for the Knicks, but man, the Knicks still have the talent on that roster to at least take a game or two.
We're still working on Drew, by the way.
Yeah, he's gonna hop on next segment.
Hoops yep. by Hoots.
I think he's getting his hat on.
Oh, this is a great one by Hoots. It's gonna take a while.
I guess to compare, I would much rather lay the number with the Cavs than I would with the Knicks or with the Celtics.
The Cavs, who can be found still at DraftKings specifically, at a low -425, and it was -400 yesterday.
Yeah, and this is kind of tough because I think the Pacers are a better team than the Knicks right now. I do think that's true, but I just think we're not giving the Cavs their due respect for what they've done. So I laid a game and a half with the Cavs yesterday, actually.
Hoops by Hoots riffing on my point the other day about the Pistons probably should have won this series 4-1 against the Knicks. He goes, Pistons should now be up 5-1 in this series. Absolutely unbelievable. You know what the Pistons should do? They should just show up at the TD Garden. They should just show up there in Boston and see what happens.
See what happens.
See who tells them to turn away.
Dude, I'm telling you, I know I told you during the break, but I am so obsessed with 90s, 2000s, NBA, and one mixtape basketball that Brunson little shimmy last night. I was off my couch screaming. It's just like Iverson all over again. Inject that into my veins every night in the NBA.
After Asar Thompson had forced the turnover on Brunson the possession or two before
yes.
that. And then he just went skating.
And it's about the matchups, right? It was Halliburton against Giannis the night before. You're talking about elite defenders and bang, bang, crossover, little shoulder, shimmy, shake, and boom.
And finally,
lights out.
Primetime, Cowboys _ Cubs 1. Yo, hey, man, not watching, but just listening to Country Clubbing K. Michael Bidlin's crossover shake hurt my ankles.
That's right.
Let Weilers know he needs to bring the Kelly Bidlin energy next time he's in the producer chair. I will defend Wyatt Tomchek. He was fantastic in the producer chair in your state.
Good. Wyatt works very, very hard, even though if he's might be working at home today.
Oh, is he at home?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he's fantastic. He really is. I couldn't do the podcast without him, by the way.
Oh, no, you could not.
Yeah. Shall we do it? Are we sure?
Are we sure?
Estamos seguros. How do we not have a big intro for this?
Rob's working on it very hard back there, currently, right now.
Okay.
That's what I'd say. All right. Are we sure?
Yeah.
The Warriors are the second best team in the Western Conference.
Oh, no. I'm not sure. And I'm a Warriors guy. I do agree with Zach Cohen. I think the Minnesota Timberwolves might be the second best team in the Western Conference. I don't think it's the Clippers, like everybody else is saying, but I think it might be the T-Wolves. So, no, we're not sure about the Warriors.
I think those waters are getting murky of who's that second best team. And I think all three
of
those teams.
On any given night, it could be the Warriors also, by
yes.
the way.
Yeah. I
trust them more than anybody in crunch time in any game, but I don't know that they're clear head and shoulders the second best team.
Like you just said that, though, I think you could say that same thing about the Denver Nuggets, too, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. Going to give me Nikola Jokic on any given night. I got the chance to have the second best team or the best team. The Western Conference.
If I asked you who the third best team is in the East, it's like, who cares and who knows?
Yeah, it's the Pacers, but who cares?
Who cares?
It ain't going to matter.
That's right.
I don't think it's mattered for 6 months, and it's not going to matter. Okay, I lost my spot. Are we sure? Now, we already talked about this. Are we sure the Knicks have no shot versus Celtics?
I'm fairly sure. I'm fairly sure about that. The Knicks are, whenever Jalen Brunson's on the other side of the court, there's always a little bit of doubt. But the Celtics have too much. So I'm fairly sure, yeah.
It's ridiculous with this is where the Knicks drive you nuts because the pieces they've added, it is ridiculous how often they still need to rely on Jalen Brunson magic.
Yes.
Okay.
Including
last night.
Yep.
Are we sure Giannis will be back with the Bucks next season?
I'm not sure. Someone tweeted obviously about this. More than one person tweeted about this week. I'm not sure because I don't know how the Bucks get out of their jail, and that might be the only way.
So So the big thing is, and this goes back even to like Drew Holiday trades, and then it's Damian. They have no draft picks. They're in a very tough spot. You need.
It's purgatory.
You're in purgatory.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's. Giannis ain't going to be happy. And I don't think any of us, like Dame, none of us are going to get angry at the idea of him leaving Milwaukee.
And the worst thing you can be in the NBA, the worst thing. Is the mediocrity purgatory. That's the 1980s Washington Bullets, right? If you go 40 and 42 every year, you're not bad enough to suck and get a good pick. You're not good enough to win a championship. You just end up on this never-ending cycle. And with Giannis, they will never suck, right?
Right.
So that's the problem.
It's just sad, man, because what was it? It was the Eastern Conference Finals the year the Warriors won it, right, where it was Celtics-Bucks in that Eastern Conference Finals the year after the Bucks win the championship, and you're like, this is going to be the Eastern Conference Finals for the next 8 years. And man, this Bucks franchise, just the past couple years, it's tough to watch. Okay, are we sure? I like this one. Like this one, Gil. Are we sure Travis Hunter should have shorter odds to win Defensive Rookie of the Year than Offensive Rookie of the Year? Because that's the case right now.
No. But this is a little weird because with Defensive Player of the Year.
Rookie, but yeah.
Defensive Rookie of the Year, pardon me. Defensive Rookie of the Year. You usually don't win that as a cornerback. You just don't. But it could be anybody. So I don't know. It's a nebulous category. Remember last year it was like, well, who do you give this to kind of thing? Do you do it to a guy who had a good stretch early or a good stretch late? I don't know. The problem is if there's a path for a rookie quarterback, he should absolutely be longer just on principle on offense. But I don't. So if you believe that, then there's no way he should be shorter offensively. The question is, do you believe that?
No.
And I don't know.
I don't really. I mean, Cam Ward is shorter than him. Yeah. I think it's a very interesting year for Offensive Rookie of the Year because I don't know that I trust any of those quarterbacks to be a serious threat.
That's a good are we sure question because there is no clear answer
to it.
Well,
and the other thing, haven't we got an indication from the Jags that he's going to be starting in that wide receiver room first? So,
yes.
I mean, right away, It seems like the odds are a little out of whack, where I can get a longer number on him on offense.
That's right, Kelly. He'll be starting in the room.
In the room. That's right. It's going to be fun. Okay, we're going to talk more about these last week because I saw DraftKings post some of these markets. Are we sure Anthony Richardson should be minus 280 to be the Colts week one starter? Reminder, they have Daniel Jones on the roster now as well.
He should be the favorite. He should not be minus
280. Hey, I love Anthony Richardson.
Yeah.
280 feels heavy.
This feels like a training camp where if it doesn't go well,
right,
he would not be the starter.
Yes, I agree.
Let's do whatever you have left on the other side. Drew Dinsick from Churchill Downs. The Derby is tomorrow. The Run for the Roses, the fastest 2 minutes in sports. What other things do they call themselves? It's coming back. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM channel 158. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin alongside everybody, producer number nine. So much more than a producer.
Hey-o.
Who was it back behind the glass who said you've changed in Sturgeon and Caicos?
Rob Moreno
says you've changed.
He's very critical of me, though, always.
We coming up, Fezzik Fridays, Chris Felica standing by to give his Derby and Oaks plays and whatever else he's betting. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate this. Jeff Cam, love Jason, but he looks homeless. Wow.
But you haven't seen his shoes. So
Jeff, he speaks very highly of you. Jeez.
Yeah.
Tronsky, what I think Gil and Drew have failed to mention in the recent EGA struggles is how the field has drastically improved over the last year and a half. Similar to ATP, WTA goes through peaks and troughs of talent. IGA took advantage of a trough. I was with you to that last line, because that's like sort of saying Tiger took advantage of that in golf as well. Yeah, he was just so far better than everybody else that then it appears that way. That was IGA. IGA shows up, she goes to number one in the world, she wins 23 tournaments, she wins 5 majors. Yeah, eventually they'll catch up with her. But I don't know about taking advantage of a trough. What I will give you is she did get lucky that Ash Barty retired. I do concede that point. That was definitely a help. Big Kahuna, Bucks have only one option. Trade Giannis to OKC for some of the picks they have. They have a ton. Oh, my God. Could you imagine?
need players too. No, no, the one I'm secretly hoping for is the Spurs.
The Spurs. You are obsessed with the thought of Giannis and Wemby playing together.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because you could just build whatever you want around them on offense. Good luck attacking that defense.
The OKC thing, is there such a thing as too much? Would that work?
There's definitely a thing as too much. I think we've seen it over the past 15, 20 years with some of the big threes and stuff that have been assembled of who's going to get the ball and usage rates and stuff like that.
Basketball's a funny thing. You've got five guys on a court. There's an optimal efficiency. If you had a team of five that was Bird, Magic, Jordan, Oscar Robertson, and Wilt, you're not scoring 300 points.
Right, yeah. I think the perfect example of Oklahoma City is, okay, Giannis goes there. Sure, I think Giannis and Shea are great, but does it stunt the development of a Chet Holmgren? Probably, absolutely.
Probably does. Yeah, that's some sort of, you can't really quantify the effect in some cases. Ladies and gentlemen, you know him as the Bear, El Oso. He is at Fox Sports now. Once upon a time, he was at ESPN. Maybe known more for college football than anything else, but if there was only one sport he could handicap, if you held him to one sport for the rest of his life, his answer will always be horse racing. It's Chris Felica, everybody. Courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, at Chris Felica, F-A-L-L-I-C-A, on the old Twitter machine. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well, and I want to ask you a quick question, just because if you were someone, hypothetically, that was holding a Jack Draper at 28-1 to win Madrid, and now he's in the semis today against Musetti, who's the better clay player, but this court seems to be playing a little bit more like a hard court. Like, what would you, in theory, do today?
Musetti has overperformed his numbers the whole tournament. Something happened to him in Monte Carlo where his entire brain changed, and he's considering himself a top 10 player, and he's playing out of his gourd at this point. So what do I mean by that? I mean that I can't properly tell you how good he is. He's a plus 147 dog. I would be terrified. Draper, to me, is still the guy to win this tournament at this point. In the semis, but I'd be a little terrified today. I don't know if that answers your question, but I would.
A little terrified is probably the way I'm seeing it too. So yeah, I'm thinking about putting a nice little pre-flop on Musetti to cover my investment and maybe make a little bit off of it. Well, but looks like Rude took the first set against Cerundolo today as well.
Yeah, Rude, of course, traditionally with great clay numbers as well. As they're in the semis in Madrid and then the finals on the WTA side, which is Sabalenka and Coco, with Sabalenka very short favorite at minus 125. Interesting. Okay, Kentucky Derby, sir. The run for the roses. The fastest 2 minutes in sports. Go. What do you got?
Where to start? I hate landing on the favorite in this race, but I can only envision four horses of this field. I know Drew was talking about how deep it is. I can only see four horses winning this race. I can see Journalism win. I can see Sovereignty win. I can see Besa, who just drew in today, win. And I can see Luxor Cafe win. I think the winner comes from one of those four horses. You can knock Journalism for only facing a couple of five-horse fields, but he's got the proper profile for the runner that I think is going to win this race. So I'm going to key Journalism first and second in the exacta. What that means basically is I need Journalism to finish first or second, and then I'm going to need either Luxor Cafe, Publisher, Tiztastic, Cole Battle, who may or may not run. I've heard some conflicting reports there. And then Beza, one of those horses to run second, or Cole Battle, Luxor Cafe, Beza to win, and then Journalism to finish second. That's the main way I'm betting this race. And then I'm going to wind up doing a smaller exacta key with Sovereignty to run first or second with those same horses. And then I'm going to have that trifecta that was put up there with Journalism keyed first and second with those same horses in the other spot, and then and filling it out. I've tweeted this out, so if you haven't had a pen and paper to jot down your notes, look at my Twitter feed. I have a long, 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 long thread there that has a lot of things laid out. So hopefully we come across some winners. But yeah, I heard American Promise. He did pass the vet report, and the stewards voted, I guess, 2-1 to allow him to run. So take that for what it's worth.
All right. Journalism Sovereignty by Asa and Luxor Cafe, the four horses that you think can win this.
100. Yeah, I mean, like, if you're gonna play some pick fours or whatever, those would be the four that I would use. But again, I hate landing on the favorite in this type of race. But outside of questioning just the short field, he's got two of the best speed figures of any one of the race. He's got a great running style, a really good trainer, a great post. Like, unless it pours to overnight and tomorrow, and he hates the off going, or if he gets left at the gate or just gets corralled, that's racing. That's the Kentucky Derby. It happens. But he just checks every box for me.
All right. The 151st running of the Kentucky Derby tomorrow, first Saturday in May. Kentucky Oaks. We go to the Kentucky Oaks, where Good Cheer, as Drew mentioned, undefeated filly, is the very short favorite. How are you going on the Oaks?
Yeah, a lot of people are knocking Good Cheer just because she hasn't, like, I don't want to say improved or really wowed with the speed figures, but she goes out and visually you watch her and she just takes care of business. She's someone who can be right up on the lead. She can come from well off the pace. She can be in that first flight as a stalker. Again, I think she is the most likely winner, but I do think there are four long shots in here that has an opportunity to win this race and certainly crack the exact at the number one horse early on, who's 30-1, who ran second. We gave her out on a numbers game a couple of weeks back in the Gazelle, and she ran too good to lose that day. She's 30-1. I think she can improve today. Fondly is another horse who's 20-1, who's going to kind of be coming from just off the pace. Tenma, the horse that Drew also mentioned. I am in full agreement with Tenma. Second race off of a layoff, Bob Baffert. This horse should improve in this start. And then Take Charge, My Lady, for Ken McPeak, who won this race last year with Torpedo Anna. She is rumored to have a little bit of a foot issue a couple weeks back, which caused her to scratch, but reportedly she's doing well. So I'm going to play Good Cheer in the exacta, first and second, with those four horses in the Oaks tomorrow. And by the way, Torpedo Anna, who I had mentioned, she runs today in a stakes race at Churchill Downs. I'm gonna take a chance. I'm gonna look to beat her today. I think she is very vulnerable today. I think both of the Chad Brown horses in that race have an opportunity to win. And if you're looking to maybe play some pick fours and pick fives later in the day, maybe take a stand against Torpedo Anna, because I think she might be a little short today.
All right, the Oaks is today. The Oaks is today for those who are wondering. Also, okay, fastest 2 minutes in sports is the Derby. This is the fastest 2 minutes in handicapping right now for the rest of these races. Today, the Eight Bells, the ninth race. What do you got?
The Eight Bells. The Eight Bells is today. Like I said, I'm going to look at the 11 horse. Look forward at 12-1 on the morning line. She's 2-for-2 sprinting, and I think the cutback from a mile and a 16th. To 7 furlongs will be good for her. We're going to move to tomorrow. Churchill Distaff Turf Mile, that's the fifth race. I think the five towns, second off of a layoff. She's run huge those couple of instances as well, where she's had second off of a layoff. Grand Motion gets Arad Ortiz Jr., who's the best finisher in the business. The Turf Sprint tomorrow, the seventh race, the number 11 horse, Eamon. Drew wide, you're going to need a little bit of pace help and a clear path, but if Eamon can avoid getting hung out too wide, I think has a good shot. The American Turf, the ninth race, the number 12 horse, Golden Avenue, who's 20-1. I think the favorites in that race are very, very vulnerable. The pace doesn't look super fast. I'm drawing a line through Good Afternoons or Golden Afternoons last race. Never really comfortable with rank. Mike Smith is very good on the front end. She might get brave and have a big say in the outcome. Derby City Distaff, the 10th race, the number 7 horse, Vava, is 6-1 on the morning line. I'm not sure we're going to get 6-1. She's 4-for-4 at Churchill Downs. Last year, she was great. She won this race. Then her final two races of last year at the Ballerina didn't necessarily run well on a speed-favoring track. Disappointed at Del Mar. Never really liked the surface. So I'm going to come back with her today. And then redistricting in the Turf Classic, the 11th race, the 4 horse. I absolutely love this horse. I doubt we're going to get 10-1, but this horse should be flying late for Chad Brown in the race just before the Derby tomorrow.
He called Golden Afternoon Golden Avenue. I don't feel so bad now.
Hey, exactly. My brain is mush right now. I just got done like retweeting my entire article for .com. Hey, I know you have the Sharp Plays as one of your sponsors now. Can you ask them what happened to Mr. Poison? Remember last year during the NHL playoffs, like Mr. Poison's plays were like all over the place. He was like one of those like guys like
we're on it.
Fade.
We're on it. We gotta go, Chris. I will absolutely do that. Chris Felica, everybody. Fezzi.